Well, yeah, welcome, councillors and the public. This is the ordinary council meeting for Wednesday, the 26th of August, 26th, held today at the Oakland Municipal Offices at 71 High Street in Oakland. In relation to this matter, in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, I must advise all attendees that this meeting is being recorded. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We'll commence the meeting in the usual way with the prayers led by Reverend Dennis Cousins.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dennis.
As I listen to our Mayor's introduction of the recording of the meeting today, and we have an opportunity each time to remember people within the Southern Midlands area or people who have been associated for some time who have passed away. So it's nice that those records are kept within the recordings of our meeting. And it's very special that we have that opportunity to be able to remember those people. We have a list today, and for some months it's been very quiet, but today I'll just share with you these names that may be familiar to you. Roger Glover of Kempton, Eleanor of Borgstein of Oatlands, Gerard Walters of Oatlands, and he and Danny were the first with the pancake shop. And Bob Cooper, Oatlands also. Margaret Ball from Colebrook originally, and very much long time involvement with the multi-purpose auxiliary and the hospital auxiliary, and we'll be having a memorial service for Margaret at the multi-purpose on Friday for her friends there. Gwen Branston from Tunbridge, Danny Reid who was here and had moved to Swansea in more recent years. And as I was driving here this morning, I heard on the news that somebody that all of us would have known in some way, either with a romantic song or with a dance or whatever, but Dolly Parton had passed away, and we've been part of many people's lives for some time. So we'll just remember their contributions to the world and to the community, the wider community, and we ask for blessings upon their family as they grieve for their loved ones. I'd like to just be, prior to our Lord's Prayer, just to bring you this prayer. It's about balance and exchange. Dear God, we pray for balance and exchange. Balance us like trees, as the roots of a tree shall equal its branches, so must the inner life be equal to the outer life. And as the leaves shall nourish the roots, so shall the roots give nourishment to the leaves. Without equality and exchange of nourishment, there can be no growth and there can be no love. Loving God, as we listen to those words, there are times in our life when we don't allow the roots of our friendship, of our relationships, to go deep. And here at the council in the Southern Midlands area, we give thanks for the trees of knowledge that have been planted here for so many years. And as we reflect upon those words and the lives of those people who have been part of this community, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much and all the best for today's meeting.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respects to elders past and present. Attendance today is complete and there are no apologies. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting of the 22nd of July have been circulated. Is there a move that they be confirmed? Thanks. Councillor Campbell?
No, I
can second. Thanks, Councillor Fish. Any issues with the matter? Those in favour?
No.
Those against? Please. Minutes are confirmed. Special committees of council minutes, they're there from Campania Hall Management, Lake Dalbarton, Woodsdale Community, Memorial Hall, and their AGM, and Citizen Rec.
I can move.
Thank you, Deputy.
Second.
And Councillor Bisting. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And the recommendations there, or any issues that people wanted to discuss. So I see we've got the drop-in centre organised from Lake Dalton, which looks very good. Great little brochure.
There's the recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor.
Seconding.
Thanks, Councillor Blackwell. Just in relation to the Woodsdale Hall there, I noticed that they were going to put the sign up. Did they put a sign up on is there any planning issues about that sign? I just wondered whether or not we didn't want to fall foul, or you didn't want to fall foul of some planning regulations for them.
I believe that what was said the other night, that the guy from Bendigo Bank, can't think what his name was, contacted our planning people.
Oh, yeah.
And they've given permission for it to happen.
That's
can confirm through you, Mr. Mayor, that we have confirmed the status of both signs. They are exempt under the utility funding scheme, under the science code, and except, of course, where they occur within the religious precinct, that would require a DA. So, thank you.
Very good. We've got a mover and a second. Do any other issues? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
No.
The ayes have it. Down to the joint authorities, we've got the Taz Waste South Quarterly Report. Do I have a mover for that being received?
I move.
Thanks for the second. Councillor Kennedy. Very good. Any issues there? Motion, those in favour?
No.
We have council workshops and the notification of the workshop that was held on the 10th of August 26th and the matters raised there. Was there anything in the notification that people want to discuss further?
I can move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Fish.
It's just a marathon effort.
Yes, it was all done. Are you seconding that?
I'll second.
Yeah, okay. Yes, all right. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to go with the boundary adjustment. I'll just let that tick for a while. We'll get somewhere with it one day. I'll put the
just, just on that,
yes.
Mayor, have you discussed that issue with Mayor Clarence?
Oh, just on a g'day, how are you going? How about giving us a bit of Clarence?
I just wondered what Clarence's attitude towards or opinion towards the dues.
Well, they
probably might not be all that cooperative.
Seeing as they sealed one of our roads by accident, I think their knowledge of that corner of the area is not very good at all. So,
right.
I just don't know. It's a bit of a mess, but whether it's worth fixing up is another matter.
Yeah. It's worth pursuing.
It is. Look, the minister makes a lot of noise, I suppose you could say, about councils amalgamating and readjusting their boundaries. But the process of actually doing it, if you wanted to have a bit of a discussion and readjust your boundaries, is very complicated.
It is. Very convoluted.
Convoluted. And, I mean, I suppose, well, it's not easy. I think they could do a lot to make it easier.
Yeah.
But again, that's something that the Attorney General could maybe have to do. He's probably got plenty on his plate. Councillors, question time. This is item 7.1. Questions without notes. There's no questions on those, I don't think, is there? All right, start with you, Debbie.
I don't have any questions.
No questions?
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Bisbee?
Just two, Mr. Mayor. I've had a complaint about the Cliftonvale Road and the amount of rubbish on the side, each side of the road, especially going out. It's a tip road, of course, going to the tip, and some people lose part of their load and don't bother picking it up, and I just wonder if perhaps we could have an inspection of that road and a pick up once a month or once a quarter or something. Stornoway do the Brighton area, and whether they might be able to do it or whether we do it ourselves or whether we can't do it. I haven't inspected it myself in the last few days, but
I was there yesterday.
Yes. Did you see much rubbish?
No. Right. There's a burnt out car I see at the bottom of the hill.
Nothing today.
Sorry?
Nothing in Clifton Vale today.
Nothing today,
no,
right.
No.
Anyway, yes. I'm just relaying a complaint from two landowners that border the road, saying that, you know,
it's not up to scratch.
Perhaps David could have a look sometime, just see what you think. Because at least I can say that we've inspected it.
We have had a lot of dumping right through from Elvesley Road right through to Clifton Vale.
Right.
So there's been, I don't know whether someone has recently moved up there and decided it's a great idea or what it is, but Dave's been called out a few times to...
Quite similar in Campania tip as well, like leading into the tip is just rubbish.
Yeah. Well, that's always been bad. Yeah. Always been bad.
General rubbish. We're also getting a lot of, we've had mattresses, we've had all sorts dumped up along the Elvesley Road, and they're going right through. And it's called pulling off onto
refrigerated
side roads.
So,
and do it all on the mud walls road.
Anyway,
so
all right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Castor.
Just one more. With the nearing completion of the new childcare centre at Kempton, Is there going to be enough qualified, apparently there's going to be six ladies or men employed there in childcare. They have to be qualified, do they not?
Mm.
So are those people available in the community to fill those positions? Because it's quite a few. Six is very good indeed, but they've got to be, I always think they have to be qualified.
No, since the proposal was signed off and confirmed that it would happen, the employer, which is Kidbits, back that education and care, they've actively on a recruiting campaign and they'll start it.
So it's up to them I realise that, but I just hope that there's enough qualified people within, even if they come from Brighton
some may well have to come out of area, but they've certainly got the staffing resolved anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor.
Nothing from me, thank you.
Councillor Campbell.
I like the way you said that. Yes, I do have some. And this is in relation to the radio station. When can council arrange a meeting to get new committee and to get new station radio presenters. And I've had a few trips backwards and forwards to Launceston. The station can be a great asset if it's run properly.
So, my understanding and advice is that the radio station is currently a one-person management committee. I have tried to contact that one person and only last week sent an email to two separate email addresses, have not had any feedback. So what's actually triggered this discussion is, as you're probably aware, Council's paying the transmission costs for the tower, so we've just received a bill for $1,000 for the quarter. So in the absence, in my email I requested that he provide some advice in terms of what are the future plans for the station and to get it active. So in the absence, what we have done is actually turn the transmission tower off. And to this point, we have not had one call, which is an indication of how many people are listening to it.
So that bill was just for quarter, of course.
Yes.
Was it actually planned?
$4,000 a year.
It had been off air for a couple of days already.
Yeah.
And there has not been any local content, I believe, now for numerous months. Mm. So it is just...
It's a facility.
It's a liability, and at the present time, it could well be a community asset, but it's certainly not adding value at the present time. And the only way of bringing it to the head was to let's turn it off and see who is actually listening. And we haven't had a call.
Well, I know that, but I didn't call because I was going to raise it here.
Right.
Have you heard anybody saying that they'd like to be involved in it, Councillor Campbell, in some way?
I haven't done that much research at the moment. And another question coming up was, where are we at with Pontville Justice Centre?
Mr. Mayor, I can provide an update from last week's TASCAP proceedings. So last Monday, we attended TASCAP, the three-day hearing, concluded on the Wednesday the 19th. The sole ground of appeal was in relation to noise. On Tuesday, the cross-examination was really around the acoustic engineers, and I'll read some notes here. All the experts agreed that noise would be audible from within the buildings and within the site itself, and it's really a matter of how they can mitigate that. There's no evidence to suggest that the existing gun clubs on Sheen Road are constrained or would be constrained by the existence of the proposed facility. And notably, the gun clubs did not provide representation towards council. They weren't involved in the appeal, and we've got no record of any complaints to council in relation to noise from those gun clubs, those residents in the vicinity. On the Wednesday and Tuesday also, the planners were cross-examined in relation to the historic consents with the gun clubs on Sheen Road, particularly in relation to night shoots, and whether the conduct of the night shoot would constrain the justice facility, and whether council would have to issue EPNs to constrain the gun club activity. So we anticipate a decision within 4 months. I do know that last weekend, on the 15th of August, the Crown released a tender for the proposed build for the justice facility. As you know, earthworks, landscaping works have already been undertaken on the site. They've also undertaken weed removal. We anticipate a decision within 4 months, probably within 4 weeks, I thought, given the priorities. They need to start works on site by December this year, the Crown. So, 25 people were involved in the hearing across the 3 days. That includes the respondents, council and the Crown, and their expert witnesses from around the country, mainly noise, and the appellants, the Good Susians, and the joint parties, Ross Tudor and Rebecca Wilkie as well. So, thank you.
And with the hearing, roughly when will the decision be handed down?
I think with 4 months is the time frame they're required to. It's quite complex, I would have thought, but certainly given the time frames and the need to have this facility underway. Again, questions were asked about the necessity of the facility, especially on the Royal Commission inquiry into Ashley, Youth Justice facility. So there's pressing need, because that was one of the recommendations, was a new facility and new model of care, which is provided for within this application.
And my next question is, how are we going with the...
Would you mind, Kath, can I just ask an auxiliary question on that? Just on your point of view, man. Just, well, I noticed that the bill seems to be escalating to another 50 million or something. I know you read in the newspaper that it's going up in large amounts. Does that affect the cost or fee we charge?
Council's already taken a fee on application, which was significant based on value of the works. I don't believe there's any ability to claw back additional fees, but but certainly insofar as, you know, the Public Works Committee released their decision last week as well, so things are lining up in favour of the Crown insofar as, you know, the approval for this facility. As a comment, I think Council we were put through a process where this maybe should be one of the state's significance, possibly, insofar as it's a single, you know, it's required statewide, it's contentious, but certainly the arguments around zoning and location were key. The only other zoning that's conducive for this activity would be at the Risdon Prison Site, and they want to avoid that for obvious reasons.
I was surprised that they didn't say anything in relation to the marijuana smell that seems to have got a lot of headlines.
That was an initial ground of appeal. That was struck out probably in June because the appellants couldn't produce evidence to substantiate that was a concern. But we do know for a fact that Brighton Council receives complaints fairly regularly in relation to the odour. It's one for them to manage through their PHOs, and quite possibly it should be a level two activity for the EPA to be regulating.
But not our council area.
Not our council, no.
No, that's correct.
I noticed that one of the people standing for council for the Derwent Valley has been receiving complaints about the marijuana farm, and he's taking that on board as an issue, even though it's not his.
Carry on, Councillor Campbell.
And where are we at with the TAS Petroleum project?
I can provide a quick update for Mr. Mayor. I did receive notification from Council's lawyers yesterday in relation to the Supreme Court proceedings. There's a further directions hearing set aside for the 24th of September. Council is not required to attend, nor are our solicitors. We have literally taken a back seat on proceedings as per those legal instructions. But certainly I'm aware that Mayor presented a workshop on the 10th of August and gave Council an update on proceedings. But beyond that, we're just watching at the stage, Councillor Campbell.
Is that going that hearing in Hobart or Launceston?
It'll be in Hobart through Associate Judge Michael Daly.
Hobart?
Yep.
And the final one is in relation to Mount Seymour Hall, which I'll bring up later on, because I've got that in a closed session.
We'll discuss that then.
Tim, I was wondering if we could get an update from Telstra on the upgrade of the mobile phone tax. I believe that was meant to be undertaken in May. And whether that has been the case or whether there's a new schedule, and perhaps I can't remember when they came and presented to us last time, but it must be maybe getting on a year now, so maybe they can come back and give us another slightly more informed update as to what's going on in the world of Southern Midlands.
If you don't mind, Tim, I can answer that after having a discussion with Mark from Telstra at Dorgat conference the other day. Did you get to chat to them? Yeah. So he said to me that the one on Lemon Hill, they had hoped to have done it prior to the Bullock Festival, but it didn't happen. And that's scheduled for later this year.
Which is that the one outside Coldbrook?
No, and that one outside Oatlands. He didn't say anything about Coldbrook. He knew that I was from Oatlands, so he just said that. So it's scheduled. That is scheduled. So hopefully, Coldbrook.
Yeah.
Maybe at the same time, but that's what his reply was.
Oh, that's positive that we're getting one of them at least.
Yeah. And he did mention the Bullet Fest with. I know we were supposed to have had it done, but it didn't get done.
Well, you said that the football they didn't have a problem.
No, there was problems there. There was problems. Yeah.
It just can't handle a lot of observers, can't connect. Anything else,
Councillor? Yeah, just they finally put some signs up at Mudwalls Road, that corner, which seems to have prevented, the usual two or three accidents a month, which is quite good. So I'm not sure whether that was us or Dave or, who finally got them to take safety a little seriously there, but it's obviously made a big difference in terms of safety, which is quite good. And then just following on from Tony's comment about rubbish, it's just quite a bit of it seems to be dumped. Whether they're not making the tip on time or or just going at the wrong time or just fly tipping full stop, it does seem to be quite prevalent at the moment. So if that's us, or particularly tyres keep getting dumped as well, which is quite a big thing, so we've got quite a pile of them now which we pick up off the side of the road and things like that, so just keeping an eye on that, whether it's stored away, us or whoever, we should be sort of trying to keep on top of it. But that's about it for me.
Thanks, Paul.
I think it's all an update, but I have seen a solemn citizen and a good relations.
We might provide an update on that in closed session as well.
That's all for me.
Thanks, yes, Fish. All right, well, that's the questions without notice completed. We've got to now reflect as to whether or not there's any pecuniary interest in any item on the agenda. Councillors are requested to advise of a pecuniary interest they may have in respect to any matter on the agenda or any supplementary item for the agenda, which Council has resolved to deal with in accordance with Part 2 Regulation 8.6 of the Local Government Leading Procedures Regulation. So if you do have a pecuniary interest, now's the time to declare it.
Yes, Mr Mayor, I will be stepping out when we come to Item 16.1.1.
Very good. Anything else? Very good. Is that for the whole way on?
I think this is in relation to the grants, is it?
I think we've just got to do a couple of issues in relation to consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. I don't know whether somebody can raise that. I'll do it if you don't.
One is the Coldbrook Fire Brigade, a request for remission of development services fees. It's the only one that I have, Mr. Mayor.
It's urgent as much as I suppose the Coldbrook Fire Brigade need to be in readiness as soon as possible. And if a matter was not to proceed supplementary, it would string it out beyond the fire season start time, so I think it's a good idea to get it done today. So we'll need a mover that
well, before you go on,
thanks.
I want Mount Seymour Hall on there as well in closed session.
Yeah, but that's not something we're going to resolve yet, is it?
Just to accept supplementary items, so
yeah,
on the closed session as well.
Yes,
or do you do that?
Yeah. We now can accept it as a closed session item at this point, yep.
Isn't that just a closed session question as opposed to an item? It's just a closed session question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more a question. I'm not sure where you're going with it, but I think it's more a question at this point of time. But so we can probably
more,
just...
It's a bit more than that.
Quite hard to list it.
Okay. So that's the hall that...
Mount Seymour.
So you're moving that, Deputy, that those items be on the supplementary agenda. And do I have a seconder for that?
Yep.
Second.
Yeah, the black belt. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against those are on the supplementary agenda. We're now at 10:30, which is the scheduled time for public question time. I'd like to welcome all the members of the public that are gathered today. This is a fairly open session, but what we do require is that people ask a question, not make a long statement, and wherever the question is directed to, we'll endeavour to give you an answer straight away. But yeah, it is a time to ask questions and formulate your matter in a question that we can answer. That's all we need to do. So, who would like to lead off?
Ladies first. Ladies first.
Ladies first. Oh, why?
Sorry.
My question is addressed to just council in general. What action is being done to lobby for some safety upgrades to the roundabout leading off the Midland Highway into Brighton? There's many safety concerns, many crashes, many issues with the lights, but my concerns are more regarding the lack of indicators that are being used. It seems nitpicky, but there are many times where people have had accidents, myself nearly included. People just don't use indicators. It's causing some hazards. I'm just being asked what action has been done to lobby for that issue on the Midland Highway. Thank you.
Is this the roundabout, just for you to say, going to Brighton? I'm thinking going to Pontville?
Yeah, what yes.
The bottom of the street. Yeah. Well, firstly, of course, it is a roundabout that is controlled as part of the National Highway, which is so it's, whilst it's in that area, it's not a road which is controlled by the city of the council. But I do know that we get a lot of matters that have occurred there brought to the attention of our works manager there. I don't know if David is standing right next to you. He might be able to answer that perhaps better than anybody.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. What you raise in relation to people or the lack of people using indicators, etc., is really a policing matter. And that's a reaction you would receive from State Road as well, being the owner of the roundabout. You know, it's always a challenge, councils or State Road authorities will not be in control of the behaviour. And in that case, for that roundabout, the issues that are related to it, like the lack of lighting, etc., when the lights were out, we notified, or myself, I notified them on various occasions that their lights needed to be fixed, and they finally got onto it. But, yeah, look, it really comes down to driver behaviour and the lack of understanding, and it's not just for that roundabout. I think there's a general consensus out there that people find it challenging to navigate roundabouts sometimes, and in particular the use of indicators like you've suggested. So I think it's more of a broader education process to try and tame the driver behaviour, is my opinion. Is there any actual structural problems or anything like that, or the layout of the roundabout? I don't think so. I just think it's more of a education process, as suggested. So we can certainly raise that through the appropriate department within State Road that these being concerns raised.
Yeah, that was my question, more to the lobbying for that action, because it's a state highway.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah. No problem.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? No? Newspaper?
Yes, I did, but the questions have been asked and answered. Thank you.
All right.
Brian's got questions.
Brian, did you want
to? I'm Brian O'Reilly. I'm president of the ODFA. Also, I'm a CAC. First off, thanks to the council for all their support throughout the year. We've had a great season. I know we applied for funds for the upgrade of the Oaklands Oval. I'm going to have trouble with some clubs saying that it's not for a grand final as it is at the moment. The building's very tired, the toilets aren't up to scratch, the umpire's room where it is are all issues that will be raised, and whether we can do that grant as a part of two stages and maybe build the toilet block and an umpire's room over where the old school ball was first. But unless we do something with that building pretty soon, I'm going to have trouble justifying putting a grand final there, unfortunately. But the support by the council issue has been great.
Yes, don't agree him. Lack of training for the scoreboard operator is obviously something
I can't agree with you.
We've got to do it.
Thank God for Jeff Bevan. Turn it on, turn it off. That's all you had to do.
You've got to turn the wrong box up on
that. Yeah. I can see a war happening at the end of the day. Oh dear. Yeah, look.
Yeah.
We're thinking about it. Yes, General Manager.
So there is an AB flag that there is another grant opportunity that's available. It is a maximum of $500,000, which has to be matched dollar for dollar by the applicant. So we will revisit the plans for the Open Direct Ground and see if they can be staged to break it down into stages. But I very much take your point that, given the crowd that was there on Saturday, and the current layout, it's just inadequate. You know, you've got umpires walking through the wet area, you've got kids trying to access the canteen through a wet area, lack of toilets. So very much take your point, it's in desperate need of upgrade.
And mate, look at the brand new facility we've got at Campania, but to put that crowd in Campania would be impossible.
Each of the grounds has its pros and cons in terms of facilities, parking, opens is ideal in terms of parking, whatever. It's just the layout of the ground and the condition of the change rooms.
Well, the entrance and exit.
Well, having spent three and a half hours on the gate there on Saturday, the local
police
were not happy with having to stop start traffic and trying to get them in, but they must consider it is hard if you've got someone paying by card and then you do sell margin tickets. You've got a program that we're trying to push as well, trying to get cars to come through as quickly as we can is really hard. So they did have two machines going at one stage, so we tried to move at least three cars in, work on them, and then another three. But I'm sure there will be, to the association, there will be comments from the local police force about how bad the entrance is. So I don't know even if we move it up further up north, up towards the southern end, like we said. I don't know if it's going to be any better.
You just got to weigh it up at that top.
One day.
It's only 4 hours, 4 hours, 1 year.
Yeah, whether it's widened to allow for two lanes entering the ground is maybe the simplest solution. It is the major ground. It's the finals facility for the Opens District Footy Association. So I think to overcome this situation where the clubs are just not happy to play there, we've got to think about what needs to be done.
All right. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, and congratulations.
Well, I certainly got plenty of comments up there on Saturday myself. Yeah. In terms of the facilities.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
I've just woken up. Yes, no, it was a great day. Yeah.
Very good. Well, it seems that there are no other matters.
Well, can I ask one more
question? Yes,
please. The headlines are somewhere that they're going to drain the lake. Is that a 10 years down the track, or is it?
Drop in session?
If I basically walk around the lake 4 or 5 times a week, I would be very disappointed.
There's a public information session held on Monday the 31st of August
3:30 to 7:30
okay.
in here.
Yep.
Come along at any time and ask questions and find out more. I'll give you that little clue there. We're all over it. But I understand there is going to be some interesting reactions about all that, but it's for the long-term good, I think, is what we're looking at. But, yeah, the information session will make it a little bit clearer for you, Brian,
okay.
and everybody else. Any other matters? No, very good. Well, look,
Can we get to this end? We're right. Yep.
Yep.
All good.
Do I have a cup of tea? What do you want to do?
I move
well,
that we have
to have tea.
And I'll second.
Okay, well, time for acclamation. There is now going to be a little break for a cup of tea and we'll get into the planning session afterwards. Okay, well, it's been moved by the Deputy and seconded by Councillor Campbell and we resume. I'll put that motion, those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it, thank you. We move to item 12, which is page 17 on your council booklet.
Jim, are you doing photos today?
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Rightio, this is a session of council sitting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use, Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and Council Statutory Land Use Planning Scheme. And we're looking at item 1241, which, are you in a position to speak to that, Grant?
I can, Mr. Mayor, thank you. It's an application pursuant to 610 of the Local Government Building Listing and Provisions Act for an adhesion order. The adhesion of a landlocked section of land, in short, to adjoining freehold property that's owned by Bevan Crofts and Jen Potter. As per the recommendation, very straightforward.
Move, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, well, it's just simply an annexure or adherence matter. It seems that the person occupying the land didn't even know they owned it. So
that's true.
This clarifies all those issues, and it's been moved by Councillor Fiske and seconded by the Deputy that the recommendation provided by the Manager of Development and Environmental Services be approved and passed. Those in favour?
Aye.
I guess the BIOs have it. Thank you.
That's it.
Yes, that concludes the matters for the council acting as a planning authority. We move now to the BA Refiller program, proposed Oakland's aquatic centre location, the little blue fill station there, and we've got the director of assets.
The recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Campbell. I think there will be some discussion about this because, obviously I'm not going to bore, so that's been shown many times, but. I wonder whether I'd be better off at the side and not at the front. I don't know what people actually bring to those refill stations, but I assume it would be something fairly bulky that maybe be better suited for car travel. And if it was in the car park around the corner, it might be easier for people to access and carry. And I'm not 100% sure that I like the blue pole right in the middle of our aquatic centre front lawn, which is a beautification issue. But I don't know, obviously I'm guided by what everybody else seems to think about it. And you have a point about it too, don't you? So what do you want to say?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we were contacted initially by Tas Water. It's this BA refiller program that they're rolling out 20 sites across Tasmania. Originally they proposed a location within the Callington Park precinct area, and sort of every single location wasn't fitting for that area at all, to do with the associated heritage, etc., and the natural environment there. So they came back, and bearing in mind it's about where the appropriate infrastructure is located as well, and this is the proposal that they come back to us with, saying, well, if we can't have an encampment, this is probably the only other potential site that ticks all their boxes within Oatlands. Just adding to that, your comment, Mr. Mayor, about carrying bulky things, these things are designed for people to come in with just their water bottles. And fill up. It's certainly not for filling up a tank in a caravan or something like that. We already have that facility available for motorhomes and things like that. This is just filling up a water bottle that you carry around with you. And yeah, look, I just thought it would be worthy of putting on the agenda to see what council's thoughts are. I will note, I've obviously had a discussion with Adam and the staff over at the Aquatic Centre, and they're more than happy. They actually reckon it's very fitting, because a number of people that visit the Aquatic Centre have always gone in there going, where can we fill our water bottles up, etc. So he's more than happy with the proposed location and the sighting of it. Any other questions?
Is this one of the ones that have a dog bowl at the bottom of it as well?
Yes, I believe it does.
So
yes.
Dogs can drink out of it? Yeah.
Correct.
I just don't know if it's in the right place just there. As you said, the Callington Park Committee, we said no, because we just thought it wasn't fitting for where the area. Going back to our previous council 4 years ago, it was on the agenda that we put up, one in Oatlands and one at Kempton. I think that money's still sitting there for...
At Kempton, we put it down at the dog park, didn't we?
But we never put one in Oatlands then. So there's still money...
There is a budget allocation, yes, still sitting within the budget.
About $7,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
This is free.
Yeah, this is free. I know this is free, but I'm just saying, we were to do it 4 or so years ago and didn't do it. And another thing the Callington Park Committee brought up, you know, you've got a jack jumper on the bottom of it, isn't it? That's...
Looks like it, yeah.
Well, it is. It's one of the jack jumpers, the basketball team.
I think it looks better than the statue at the front.
I think the statue looks good, but I just know it's bright blue in front of that.
Blue for swimming pool seems to fit.
Well, there's a move around the table, it stays and goes there. I'm more than happy to.
I'm not against moving it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, you moved, Councillor Busby.
So there's no other spot there by the pool you could go down?
No, I meant moving the stage. You suggested it should be down the side.
Well, I don't know. Look, I'm...
Taz Water might like it down the side, seeing they're doing it for nothing. They want it in a very visual place.
Well, it's for people who walk along, get their water, they're not going to walk down the car park.
Put a hose to it, you reckon?
Even to a shower. It's a conspicuous place for people with health concerns, so they can fill up quickly.
There's a bench there, they can fill it up and sit on the bench and watch the statue.
Are you all happy? Not worried about the community backwash, so to speak? Very good. I'll put the motion then that we agree to support the proposed refiller location. That's a number one. That's what Councillor Bisley has moved and Councillor Campbell has seconded. No further discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And against?
Aye. Against.
Well, one against the deputy. Thank you. Let's make that note. Right. Now, while you're sitting there, Dave, we have the Director Assets Report, which is the item 1310.1. Councillors have that before them. Did you want to speak to that, Dave?
No, I'll just, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce, for those that don't know, Mr. Cameron Burrell, who's sitting here behind me. I'm sure many of you know Cameron. He's been a long-serving staff member with Council under the recent restructure that we undertook within Council. Cameron applied for the position of Works or Manager of Works, and he was successful. So I just wanted to bring Cameron in to introduce him. He's the man that gets stuff done on the ground. He's fulfilling the role. He's been in a few months now and doing an outstanding job.
Congratulations.
Well done, Cameron. And just bearing in mind, I'm sitting a little bit sort of above Cameron, obviously, so he's the man that actually gets stuff done.
Good. Yeah. So we blame him, not you.
Sorry?
We blame Cameron, not you.
Well, if you like. Yeah, that's fine.
So, Dave, you just to segue into Cameron your report.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus just yet. However, obviously, when I do these monthly reports, I consult with Cameron as to what we've done and what the proposed, works are coming up and planning works, etc. I just wanted to introduce Cameron. Thank him so far for all his fantastic work that he's done. He's a local lad and he's here to serve the community above and beyond everything else, and he's very, very available.
Well done, Cameron.
Get his number now.
Won't you nearly say he's a chip off the old block? You've got a lot of Dave spending habits too.
Here we go. I taught him well, Tim.
If I can just add to Dave's comments, Cameron is heavily involved with the Heritage and Bullock Festival. He's got a Fowler traction engine, is it, Cameron? And Cameron put a cart on the back of his traction engine and takes people around the village. I think this year at the Heritage and Bullock Festival, I understand he carried a bit over 1,000 people around in that car at no cost. So I just think that demonstrates a tremendous commitment to this community. And we're very lucky to have someone like Cameron with us in our team.
Very good, thank you. So I guess I'll take any questions regarding my report from Council.
The Oakland's Aquatic Centre shower renovation.
Yes.
How much are they going to cost?
We have a budget of... I'm not sure off the top of my head. We haven't finalised the cost because we just put in, as usual, there's an indicative budget put in there.
Yeah.
And the costs are the costs. However, it was only some extra panels that we had to purchase and some plumbing work and obviously the labour to undertake the works. But off the top of your head.
Are we doing it?
The budget's
10,000. 10,000.
And we're doing it?
Yes, in house. Yes, definitely. For their own building services staff.
Very good. Yes, any other matters and any other questions in relation to Dave's?
Well, that was just one quick one, Mr. Mayor. Tasrail with their crossings, have they completed them all now, or they've got one or two more to go?
Thanks, Councillor Beasley. You're referring to upgrades, is that right?
Yeah.
The upgrade program? Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any that they've done yet. They have been very good in consulting with us.
Yes.
Prior to any works undertaken, we got some line marking works, us, council, to undertake at some various level crossings and some signage works, as in putting signs in, but that's about it.
Yeah, I just wondered if there was any more to do. But
not that
I'm not sure how many there are. I'm trying to count them up. I think I got to four, but I may be wrong.
Oh, there's a lot more than four.
More than four.
More like 14.
14.
I'm
more than wrong.
Three out of my way.
That does remind me, there's been a lot of the gates being stolen off the crossings around Campania for the railways. So someone's got to take the cattle gates off.
Anyway, when they upgrade them, they do a proper job.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
Because they fall into disrepair very quickly if they're not cemented and given the treatment. Thank you.
I have a number of questions. Rindaston Road, as you come up from the railway line, going up the hill towards that settlement, town, village, call it what you like, before you get to the end of the bitumen, about halfway up, you've got a corner and the edge is breaking away quite steadily. That could do with someone to look at. And then when you get down Rindaston Road to Stoner, the intersection in the bitumen, you've got potholes scattered across through the bitumen and going into the gravel. And I've had comment about that, if that could be done. And then the other question is, can we have a traffic counter installed on the end of the bitumen on Stoner Road, the Baden end, where you go into the gravel? You got the bitumen and you go to the gravel. Could we have?
That's on the Tunnock Main Road junction, you mean?
Back further from the Tunnock Main Road entrance, back further.
You come off the Tunnock Main Road, you go along the gravel, then you come to the bitumen. Where the bitumen is, can you put a counter there to get number of traffic flow?
We can, Councillor Campbell. What's the purpose of getting the...
Well, I get quite a lot of complaints from various ones that gravel should be sealed, but unless you know how many vehicles come through there, is it worth it or is it not worth it?
Yes.
Is it too high a cost or is it appropriate?
Yes. Well, as you're well aware, Councillor Campbell, we have over 600 kilometres of unsealed road network throughout our municipality.
814.
That's total.
Total.
That's 200 of you sealed.
There's a full bottle on all this.
And if you didn't even get to do it.
So I know what the traffic flow is, so that I can turn around and say, well, the traffic flow's not high enough, or, yeah, the traffic flow's a lot higher than we thought it was.
You could sit there and count it all day.
I don't think so. I haven't got the time to spare like you.
That's okay, Councillor Campbell. We can put a traffic counter on there.
That's my lot.
Dave and Cameron, in Anstey Court, some of the trees have lifted patches in the middle of the drive again. We're going to be able to pop down and just have a look and see if we can just patch it up again, if you don't mind. It's, some of the oldies, if they're walking down the middle of the road with their wheelie walkers. Yeah, thank you.
No problem, we can check that.
Thank you.
Dipping down, cut it out.
Yeah, well, I think the tree that we're talking about's on the department side. We'd like it to go, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. You might have a little print and cut the roots.
Yeah,
cut their bending roots.
Yes.
We
did that with the big one previous up far end. Don't get behind and cut all the roots.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Just in terms of some of these outlying roads, are there signs? I can't remember. Do we have a sign saying, end of the boundary or the beginning of the Southern Midlands boundary at the...
Yeah.
On all?
No, certainly not on all.
Definitely Buckland Road.
Yes, and on Pelham Road?
Yes,
there's one there. At our boundary, there's one up at Tunbridge. There's one at... There's one on the Brighton Road, past the roundabout heading towards Cromfield. Yeah, I think most of them
have. If there aren't, well, as you're going around, just have a think, because I reckon it's a good idea. because I often get complaints from them, people must call them occasionally, you know. Northern Midlands, attention to their southernmost portion of their roads is probably not as good as the standards that we have.
Oh, certainly not.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
I noticed our signs seem to be the signs that get shot up the most. Just
put a target on them. Yes. See if we can limit them. Great. All right, well, that's the matters that have been raised for questions, Dave, so unless you've answered them all. So thank you very much.
I'll make the report.
Yes, I'll move.
Second.
Did I get a second? Councillor Vistie. Thank you very much. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Up to item 15.1, which is the Heritage Project Program Report. That's there for people to see. Do I have a move for that? Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded?
I'll second.
Deputy. Issues, matters to be taken back to the road? No? Put the motion. Those in favour?
I just want to say that we're talking here about the heritage.
Are we going back to that one?
Program, and if we, I think it's is it later in, about the Bully Festival later in the
yes, there is.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were going to deal with it here.
As Mung has provided an extensive report on all of that.
NRM General Report.
Yes. Thanks, Councillor Fish.
Second.
Isn't it terrible when you write a note to yourself and you can't read your own writing? Has that ever happened to you? The design specialist for the Kempton playground.
Rec ground playground.
Have we engaged anyone, or were we going to get? Yes.
Yes. Island.
You can't read your own writing either.
Island Recreation.
They'll do a revised concept plan and incorporate all the components that came back through the public consultation process.
Aye. And, that's what I want to know. Design specialist. See, I know what it is. It's easy. Okay, I had a move out by... who moved it? Council Fish, that's right. And a seconder?
Yep.
Council District. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Have they ever done anything before? Island Recreation? Did they do any of our work before?
I think they've been involved in providing some equipment, but they're very cost effective in what they could offer. I think they'll produce what we want.
I'm sure that would have been the first consideration. Baghdad Mangalore Structure Plan Matter, 15.4.1. This is that the consultants, Jensen, must be further engaged to develop an implementation plan. do I have a move for that?
Yeah, I'll move.
Thank you.
Second.
Councillor Blackwell, second. Councillor Beeston. Pretty open-ended quote, though, Councillor Beeston.
Sorry?
It was a pretty open-ended quote, I would imagine you'd be...
Yes, it was a bit, but we need to... continue on now with the process of implementation and advising the community of what is in the plan, the final plan that was adopted by council. Unfortunately, I couldn't because of this thing. I wasn't at the meeting, but Councillor Blackwell was, but I think we need to keep moving with this now. We've got this far.
Are you satisfied with the quote that they gave them? So what they're actually going to do?
Yeah.
A bit open-ended to me. What they're actually going to do.
A bit.
Look, it was a
pretty well sort of. I think they've done a good job, and I think if we don't go ahead with it, we'll probably at our detriment if we don't go ahead with them. The quote to me seemed reasonable at the time.
Well, Council's had the opportunity of reading it, and reading the matter there that's been produced by our consultant, Mr. Mackey. We've got a move and a second. Are there any further discussion? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Animal Management Report 15.6.1. Moved by Councillor Campbell. Seconded by. Seconded.
If I could just make a comment before we conclude this matter, I just want to thank the wider team, in particular Joe Rowley, Wendy Young, AB, David's team for assisting and covering Rachel Cross's absence. Rachel's on leave for 6 weeks. She returned back to work last week, so I want to thank the team for their contribution to assisting covering that role in her absence. So thank you.
Okay. In relation to the issue of welfare reports, is that like a complaint about animals being underfed? Is that really what that covers, or is there some other issue?
Council impounded a dog in the last 10 days that wasn't in a particularly good condition, and I believe Rachel and Joe were going to escalate that to potentially another authority on the basis of that animal's condition. Council staff cleaned up that animal last week. It took some time, so I believe it won't lie with council. We'll make that known to, and Wendy can provide some further details to you.
The particular dog was released yesterday, and there was an updated photo
sent
through. Right, thank you.
So when you get a welfare report, it generally would go to a prosecuting body, but that's what we would do if it's serious for that.
In relation to the money on this one, I think it came through from RSPCA.
And they have their own prosecuting,
And I note in the report that we had two feathery friends reported. Poultry too.
Oh, yes. Well, I assume we've got no bird flu. Of course, yes.
That's you.
Stuff that keeps that same. All right, I'll put the motion that report be received, information noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Aye. Thank you. And yes, well done to all those people, officers who have been filling in for a usual worker. Now, we've got the Deputy General Manager and Director of Community and Development Services, Andrew Benson. This is, did you want to speak to this matter, which is the Pell Grants Program, briefly? It's a fairly long matter, but ultimately closely scrutinised by the committee, the Recreation Service Committee.
Do you want to speak first and then I go out, or I go out now?
What we're going to do is pass them all, and some of them, there are persons who I think it's, which one was it?
It's the Mount Pleasant.
Just the Mount Pleasant one.
So, just a quick overview, Mr. Mayor, if I can. We had 18 applicants, and they were seeking, I will accept the euro $42,000. We had $30,000 in our budget, so we had to go through a rational decision making process. Based on 14 criteria. Those, each application was ranked. The criteria is detailed in the attachments, and the committee came up with that ranking and scoring, and as we know from previous years, whoever got the highest score gets the first spot, and then trickles down till the funds are exhausted. We then do a quick check. Have we missed anything? Does this look right? And everyone was convinced that yes, that process delivered the appropriate results. And the appropriate results are on page 51, Mr. Mayor, that's got each one of the community groups, what their project was, what they would accept, and the recommendation to council within the red of the figures that are there. It's interesting to know, and I highlighted in the report, council paid out to community groups across the Midlands in excess of $500,000 for projects since we started this community small grants program. Mm. And that has been, by and large, only part of the funds because the community group have put some of their own funds or got other support. So I think that this program is a wonderful program that's a catalyst for community groups to apply and to galvanise support for wide-ranging projects, elements that add value to the community. I commend the report to council.
Just concerned, even though Tunbridge Community Club didn't get a score, do you think we should somehow separate that out, or we've deliberated on it? We are deliberating on it. I'm just saying Councillor Fish excused himself in relation to Tunbridge.
He did.
Yeah.
And the deputy excused herself in relation to the two at Woodstock.
It's you, not just in terms of consistency, Councillor Fish, seeing as you excused yourself in relation to Tunbridge.
If we just do this item
one in your absence, and then we'll do item two in the absence of the deputy. So I'll just make a note on the decision sheet that Councillor Fish has excused himself. And I'll put the motion that, unless there's any further discussion, that the decisions in relation to the respective community groups be as per the recommendation, item one. I'm going to move it for that. The deputy?
If I can.
Second to Councillor Pisty. Any further discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Well, just grab Councillor Fish back. And then this is in relation to the
Tunbridge.
Okay, no, kiosk at Mount Pleasant, we're looking at now.
Which is
why the deputy has excused herself. So a mover for that?
Move.
Councillor Bisky, seconder. Councillor Fish, thank you. put the motion then, as per the recommendation. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. That concludes those matters. If someone could get the deputy back.
So, Mr. Mayor, those letters will go out over the next few days. And as per normal, you sign the ones for the successful applicants. I get to sign. Unsuccessful.
Very good.
Sympathies are with you.
Oakland's Aquatic Centre report, item 16.2.1.
I'll move.
Councillor
Campbell.
Councillor Christie seconded. Information received and noted. Discussion? Put the motion, those in favour? The ayes have it. Manager Heritage
this is the Heritage and Void Festival matter, yeah, 1622. And we have Ms. Ian right there. How do you know it, eh? Okay. Congratulations on a great festival.
I think it's all in the report, so if anyone has any questions.
How much sleep did you get to lose?
Lots.
Yeah.
But recovered now.
Okay.
Do you know how many people came?
About 8,000 over the 2 days.
How many?
About 8,000.
I can just commend the team. I only came up on the Sunday, I didn't come up on the Saturday. I thought it was a great day.
Yeah, I was the same. You only make the Sunday, and it's just amazing the numbers that were around on the Sunday. Yeah, Saturday was the biggest day I think we've ever had. So much so, we actually had to flow to get the road flow, very stretch closed.
That's 8,000. Is that both days combined?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Councillor Fish presented the trophy just a shearing, and that was probably one of the best shearing programs I've seen for a while. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. You know, I donated money for the prize, and promised to continue that donation for the year.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And I'm beyond the concern. I might not be here, but I'm on the agenda to
continue it on. Yeah. Well, that's something very special because, especially the war anglers, gee, they've got good, haven't they?
Yeah.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor, if I may. But first, I'd like to congratulate Wendy and the team. Did a fantastic job, really. I came on the Sunday. I should have come on the Saturday, and that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, look, it's really putting not only Oaklands but Southern Midlands on the map. And the people you saw there was from all areas of Tasmania, northwest coast included.
Yeah, well,
and Huonville, yeah, fantastic.
We had a huge following on Facebook where we had over 470,000 views in the 28 days prior to the festival.
Yeah. No, it's certainly becoming a must-do feature in Tasmania and in the winter time too, which helps when there's not much else on. It's great, but congratulations to all the staff. The question I asked that this year, I think last year you did some TV advertising, and I don't think there was none done this year purposely. I'm sure the cost is prohibitive.
Last year we didn't do it. We had radio advertising both last year and this year.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no TV. We sent information off to, I sent information off to all the TV networks and no one will come back.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, that's right. Look, you know, it's growing every year and it's just getting bigger than Ben Hur. Fantastic.
So we did have media coverage through HOFM, that Triple M, the one that Brian's on, Tube. His daughter did a review on
his
program.
Yes, the swimming pool. He took them swimming.
So the swimming pool got the golf for her. So his daughter did the broadcast on the Oaklands review.
And just Councillor Blackwell and I are both on the Heritage Highway Committee, and a couple of years ago we decided to put money towards the social side of it, Facebook side of it, with different things happening in the Northern Midlands, Southern Midlands, and each year the Heritage Bullock Festival gets boosted, as we call it, and Destination South really push that on.
I didn't actually see anything from the Heritage Highway.
I did ask the question of Fiona to make sure it was being boosted, and she said it definitely was being
certainly
boosted.
Certainly the year before last it was, but I didn't really take. I'll have a look.
Yeah, have a look because it was supposed to have happened. Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did definitely say that was.
Mm. Yeah, because I was sharing those on our page as well.
Yeah.
The more you post, the more.
Mm.
Yeah.
The
more
people
view.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Mayor, can I make a quick comment?
Yes.
I think the event does galvanise the whole community. If you see the people in the shops, in the high streets, and that was one of the main reasons that Wendy manages the coffee shop and food producers minimises in Hunter Park, so people go to the high street. So it sort of certainly achieves that. If I look at, I think the golf club, were selling their lamb rolls again, $8 a lamb roll, and they sold over 800 rolls. So that's a good boost for generating income for the office. But also I think it galvanises the team, the council team. If I look at the wonderful work that Tanya did on the day, Oatlands looked just wonderful, pretty picture. And Cameron, with his equipment, Dave, with the effort that he gets with moving all sorts of equipment for Brian around the place, Wendy and her crew live and breathe it for months before. So I just think as an activity, it is really a feel-good activity and bonding activity for the broader community and for council employees and elected members as well.
Hmm. And I think it's great use of our council buildings.
Yeah.
Some of the council buildings we've spent a lot of money on over the years, you know, from Callington Mill itself to the Supreme Court to the Commissariat to the airspace building at the hospital. They've all been used and it's a great use for it.
And the benefit to the Midlands Multi-Purpose Health Centre financially, fantastic.
Yeah. I think the second day, I'm not sure how you change this, but there's a couple of businesses that closed on the second day, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you manage that.
We can't control the high street traders.
Right.
But it'd be great to get a commitment from them for that, but anyway. I'm sure you do. And look, the other thing that we haven't mentioned, it was a small thing in some respects, but I think the publicity it got and the interest it got was the seminar that Greg Williams and Alan Townsend organised at the at the Supreme Court on a symposium on colour and heritage colour. It was just amazing, actually, to go to and watch and hear them. Really interesting speakers from around Australia who just turned on to that. It was amazing.
That was a sold out event.
Yeah, it was the same, and it was delightful in a way because Alan said, you know, we only took, the people paid $20 for a seat and when they booked it because they got too many people to book it, and then he just said, well, look, we don't really want your $20, we'll refund it. But if you don't want to refund it, we'll donate all the money to the hospital. And I don't think anybody asked for a refund. So
I think it was about $1,300.
Mm. So they raised straight up out of their supposing government was really good.
I went both days, and the only slight problem around that I had any comment on was parking, which might become a problem in the future.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too. A lot of people said to me was they never discovered it. Doesn't talk to you. The area of the times, there was a lot of people up there, and the traffic wasn't directed into that first area. I don't know how you expose that first area where the middle is up there.
Yeah, so that's something that we're going to be bringing up at our meeting tomorrow. Obviously, due to the high volume of traffic. Pedestrians walking, Cameron with the steam engine, it got to a point that it was dangerous in Barrack Street, so Shane Leek said we need to close it. So we will need to keep that in mind for future events. If it is going to be that busy, we might have to close that area straight up.
we do have it as a shareway, we speed down to 20, 10. So there are quite a few signs around, but as a young friend Peter said earlier, people don't always take notice of signs. Motorists like to edge through, and it does create issues, especially with little ones and mums with prams. And so,
at one point, we did have to. Tanya had put up the road close sign on the Esplanade, and traffic was just driving around it. So we, Shane, went and manned that for about an hour.
Mm. Well, you're going to have a review of it also. I'm sure there's some lessons learned. Well, the recommendations are there that we received the report. And
Paul, I'm happy to move the recommendations.
Thank you. Second.
Thanks to Deputy Seconding and Councillor Christie moving. Put the motion without any further discussion. Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you and congratulations again. Item 1671, the Tunbridge Town Hall update. I think we've been following the saga, and it was only you and me, I think, wasn't it? From the council's perspective up there last time?
No. You and me and Tim.
Yeah. Mm. Of course, the general manager. Mm. But the community kind of stepped forward. I don't know whether it's gone on.
Trying to arrange a meeting of the interim management committee next Thursday night.
Oh, right.
To work our way through the amendments to the constitution and look at a draft lease with the intent of then conducting an AGM sometime later in the month.
Well, I understand the way forward, I think. It's just a question of following those steps.
It's the one and only opportunity they've got.
And reasonable assistance translates to what?
Me. primarily me at this point of time,
okay.
Until we get to the saga around the title, and that's a couple of years down the track.
Well, thanks, GM, for your participation in this whole business is very much valued and done. I'll ask somebody to move the recommendation.
Second.
Move the deputy. Second, Councillor Christie. A, B, C, and D.
Who moves, sir?
Moved by the deputy. Seconded by Councillor Christie. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
As against the ayes have it. Oh yeah, this is a matter now, 1711, Mr. Wilson, I don't think he's with us.
So, this is, I'll jump in, this is tabling of the policy at this meeting for adoption next meeting. The reason for bringing it direct to council is to try and meet the audit cycle. It's actually how it formed indoors prior to the Tasmanian Audit Office. So today's item is just a table of policy. If you want any technical questions, we'll call on Nick.
I didn't go back and read the communications and social media policy of November 2020, which I perhaps should have done, but you might be able to tell me. Is there issues associated with social media, given that it's going to be incorporated in this?
Just got to be able to control or limit the ability to provide a comment on social media adversely impact the council. It does extend to employees as part of them outside council and being even as an individual the linkage with council and commenting on some of the stuff that appears on social media. Just to ensure, protect council's reputation, basically.
That's what I'm thinking. That'll still be to the fore. All right, well,
yes.
people have a month to review that and provide any feedback.
So just emphasising that those three policies, I tried to explain before, we initially tried to break the template policy down into a series of policies, but it just became too complex.
Mm.
But in the meantime, we've developed through new two in particular, I think. So we've encompassed it all in the one now, which makes it a lot neater.
And this is a policy which is pretty much universal across the state, is it? Or
it is based on a template. So if you take a step back, it was an audit finding back in 23-24,
mm.
but nearly every council in Tasmania had the same audit finding.
Yeah.
So the Tasmanian audit officers were fairly proactive in issuing a template policy. And then you can just adapt it and amend it to suit our yeah. local circumstances or the world.
Yeah.
So.
Done.
It's consistent.
Mover?
I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell.
And I second.
The Deputy?
No.
Donald? Councillor Blackwell. Very good. So, moved to Councillor Campbell, second to Councillor Blackwell. And we look forward to the September 26th meeting, where that will be returned. To put the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Elected members' statements.
Okay, so just a couple of things from me. It was the grand final that was held Saturday. It was, as Brian has said and the Mayor said and whatever, it was a wonderful day to be there. It was a really good crowd. Everyone enjoyed themselves. Great game, great standard of football. In my opinion only, the right team got up, but we'll leave it at that. So that was that. Denise Smith has once again signed up to do Pink Up Oatlands in October, so I really look forward to attending some of their functions, which will be great. Of course, raising money for McGrath Foundation that supports cancer. And on Sunday, the Bowls Club met.
Did you just get a crazy Pink Up?
Pink Up is through October.
All of October.
All of October. Okay, so they're doing the Scarecrow competition again. So we'll probably see a picture of the GM out the front in his pink.
Far from a Scarecrow.
Scary.
He's a well-fed one.
And the Bowls Club, as I said, met on Sunday, and the pageant has been set for the 11th of December, Friday the 11th of December. So that's something for the kids to look forward to in the Southern Midlands.
Very good.
And yes, I was one of four that attended the ELGAC conference, but probably not much to say on that.
We thought that the conference could be shortened a bit. I think there was a lot of... it was a pretty lazy conference, I thought.
Yeah.
We had a very interesting discussion about the Devils and their progress, but that could have been held anywhere.
I don't know that that was necessary, Mr. Mayor, for the audience.
And it went on and on.
Could have been held anywhere.
He was given an hour to speak, so he used his hour. So
he used his hour plus.
It was yawning, I'm afraid. You know, two and a half days could have been condensed into 1.5,
yes,
2 days. You know, they could have had the AGM Thursday morning, instead of getting everyone there at 2 o'clock on the Wednesday.
Yeah, I know, and they could have done that. You know, they could have done it by teams, probably even.
Yeah. So they could have done that. And then I did think the speakers were not of the quality that they normally have. And we won't go on about the meal, will we, Councillor Campbell? Because the meal for the dinner, which was very expensive, was...
Pretty ordinary.
Very ordinary. No desserts, Wendy.
No dessert. Cheese and
salami and ham.
No crackers. No crackers with your cheese.
Sounds alright to me.
Anyway,
very disappointing. But all on the conference.
And look, as far as the other day is concerned, I'll just add as well, there was, I don't know how many, I reckon there would have been about 40 kids.
Oh, yeah.
Played in a little curtain raiser, which was, you know, organised mayhem, but it was really good to see all the kids there, and they all had a good time too, which contributed to families coming and watching the game, so that was good. Anybody else got an elected member statement? Yes. Sorry, John?
I had a Chauncey Vale meeting Monday. Sorry, the days. I'd just sort of like to remind everybody that we've got our 80th birthday celebration on the 12th of September. It starts at 1 p.m. until about approximately 7. There's going to be, it's a free event.
1 till 7?
Sorry?
Did you say 1 p.m. till 7 p.m?
Yeah. There's going to be things like face painting and activities for the children, sausage sizzle, guided tours. Then at dusk, which will be 6:30, I think it was it Wendy? Yeah, 6:30. We'll be featuring They Found a Cave on a big blow up screen. So I think that's worthwhile if anyone can make it and register so Wendy can count numbers and we've got a bit of an idea. We can probably had originally up to about 200, and I can't remember off the top of my head, Wendy, what we had.
No, we're currently sitting at 159,
yes.
But in that 159, there's only 30 bookings,
yes.
So we're thinking that we may be able to lift it up to 300, 350.
Yeah, and we're hoping, SES are going to do the parking for us to organise the cars, because it is going to be quite condensed with the parking. Yeah, so I encourage everyone to come to that one. I think it would be a really good event. And also, I'm not sure of the date, but it would be worth watching. Peter Hazel is organising with Healthy Together to have a showing of Just a Farmer here in Oatlands. I believe it's at the church, but I don't know, I can't remember the date, but I'm meeting with them hopefully next week, and I'll let everybody know. And if you don't know what Just a Farmer is, it's primarily for farmers and mental health relating to suicide, and it was done by, I think it's Lila McDougall. Yeah, she had experienced suicide in her own family, so it's quite a confronting, it can be quite confronting, but I think it's a worthwhile watch. We're hoping also to have a viewing on the 10th of October at Broadmarsh. If it doesn't happen at Broadmarsh, it will be down that area somewhere. We have to talk to the new committee on the hall for that one, but if it's not at Broadmarsh, I'll probably approach Kempton or somewhere like that to have it within that area, Baghdad, Kempton area, even out to Campania if that's what we need. But I'm meeting with Healthy Together hopefully next week.
Yeah, and the representative from Healthy Together talked to the Worcester Hall Committee the meeting before, maybe having one at Worcester, which would coincide Tunnock, Levendale, Worcester area as well as part of
this program. Yeah, I just think it's such an important message to get out there and to support. So yeah, if people can pop that in their calendars, it would be good. So that's it for me. Thank you.
I'm going to go a little bit different this time round. I've had thanks from a number of people. Feedback's been coming back to me in relation to some items that I gave Tim in putting on the budget, and that was Black Rush Road, Blackgate Road, Rindaston Road, as a section of those roads to be sealed, the Pratt footpath being upgraded, and the little upgrade that was done on the Colebrook footpath where the bitumen was put in, The people are very happy that that work has been done, and would have to thank the general manager and the works manager for getting it done. There's a surprise for you, Tim. And as for the conference, I found it very informative, but I would agree that the football talk went too long, and when I asked a question in relation to football, I got a very negative reply when it came to rural football and support for rural football. But otherwise, I found that pretty, well, a good conference. I circulated with a lot of the mayors and councillors through the period of time, and I was quite happy with it, with the exception of a few exceptions, which the deputy's already mentioned. So that's my lot.
All right. Any further? No? Okay.
I'm surprised.
I think we need a motion in relation to that. Thanks for those councillors who provided a statement. We now go to 17.2.3, the economic diversification and investment strategy, which is a consultation draft. Council has prepared a submission.
So the draft was circularised, Mr.
Draft was circularised. Yeah, look, I made a comment in relation to it. I don't know, was my comments picked up in the revised version?
Yes, I don't think you had... Yours were sort of aside comments around...
They were. I don't know what other councillors thought, but it seemed to me the strategy didn't address... You know, when you're talking about an investment strategy, you would think that you would be required to address the situation of debt.
Mm.
And it's just the strategy doesn't seem to strategise how the debt's going to be managed at all.
So there were some corrections as a result of the feedback received.
Mm-hmm.
So what you saw in your agenda papers, I think, took on into account feedback from Councillor Miller about putting an executive summary at the front and bringing forward all the recommendations that were throughout the broader submission. There's some other corrections, and I'm not sure where we landed as far as the dollar figure, but I think time was of the essence because it had to be in last Friday. And the main man went down with burst appendicitis. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been lodged. But I think the key, and it was a question, is one arm of government has developed this economic strategy, and then, as Damien highlighted, how is that going to integrate with the land use planning system? I think that's where it's going to fall over to himself. But we'll wait and see.
Yes.
And if it's anything like the feedback on the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Scheme, it's probably not worth taking the time to actually provide feedback.
Yeah.
It was just everything's been ignored.
And the statement said that there's $30 billion of planned public and private investment already up. So I don't know why they need a strategy, though.
Well, that'd be Marinus, and as you said, it'd be Marinus. The stadium will probably be two of that.
Data
centres.
And contract upgrades.
Yeah, and whether that, again, the issue of strategy. Are they the sorts of investments we need? Anyway.
If you listen to the people of Georgetown, no.
A
lot of wishful predictions, I think.
I think that's probably right. Georgetown have taken a pretty strong step, haven't they, in council, above the objections of quite a few people.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those people that objected were citizens of the Georgetown municipality.
Yeah, but the mayor was right. They had to stick to the planning principles.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, regardless, you know, of outside.
Yeah, I have.
Comment.
Right, and we wrestle with that ourselves sometimes, as councils do. Anyway, what we're really doing is, in retrospect now, formally accepting the submission and approving the fact that it was forwarded. So that's our response. So I guess we should do that. It's gone forward. Do I have a mover?
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Councillor Bisting. And seconded. Councillor Fish. The motion, those in favour. I just have a text to those councillors and Councillor Miller, who have responded to the original draft. Monthly financial statement, 1731. Financial report being received, information noted. Do I have a move?
I'll move.
Thanks, Deputy. Seconded.
I'll second.
Seconded, Councillor. Comments? Well, we have finance manager here. Ms. Burger.
It's still within budget after a month.
There's not a lot to report 1 month in.
No. Give him time.
Okay.
I think we're travelling pretty nicely compared to other councils.
Yes. Yes. We've got to try and maintain that underlying surplus at the end of the year. Be very pleased if that happens.
The infrastructure area is going pretty well.
100 grand in the black.
Alright. Okay. So, mover and a second. Sensible questions? No, very good. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Over again. The ayes have it. That report is received and the information noted. We cross over now. Come on, give me a page number, yes.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
AH, yep. This is the complete set of financial statements. You can pull this out of your notes and keep it by you because it's a useful document to have at any time. Do I have a mover that be received?
Yep.
Thanks, Councillor Buckrow. Seconded?
Second.
Councillor Beasley. Councillor Beasley, you've had a good look at it?
Considering the state of doing business these days with increased costs, I mean, I think the budget and Tim and Mandy have done a great job with the figures. It's very difficult trying to manage businesses in the current climate. The fuel's going through the roof, and along with a lot of other things. It's very difficult. But anyway, I think we've come out with a small surplus, and that's very good. Excellent.
All right. What he said, what I would say. Any further comment? I'll put the motion as in favour. Those against, the ayes have it. Thanks very much, Mary. Now we get up to this point where. Yes, we've got
something to do.
Yes.
Sorry.
So the main supplementary item, or the first supplementary item, I think this is the only one in this session, is in relation to the fees. Have we got a little document about that? We have. We have to move this guy off, so I've been responsible for providing this.
Information.
we're 4.5 metres to 3 metres.
So we just, so this is a request from the Colbert Fire Brigade for remission of development service fees. A little bit hard this one because of so what the two, it's primarily the placement of a shipping container and an outdoor barbecue attached or off that. It becomes a discretionary application because of its positioning on the site. In this case, and this is where the remissions is a little bit difficult because in this case it only needs planning approval and not development approval. So the normal remissions policy applies to a 50% remission of your planning plus your building, but in this case there's no building component. So certainly everyone would acknowledge the value, and Laurie's put a letter there, the importance of supporting our local fire brigades and the need to recruit and retain volunteers. But the request has to be considered in accordance with our remissions policy. And what that remissions policy provides is 50% of the applicable development assessment fee. So the actual development assessment cost is $420. So under the policy, a remission of 210. However, the biggest component, because it's a discretionary application, is the $520 Mercury advertising fee. Yes. And the policy doesn't extend to granting remissions on an external cost, because that's the cost that actually council pays. So the unfortunate part about it is the total cost of the application is $940. With only an eligible remission of 210.
Then kicking teeth.
So certainly the recommendation is that we provide the maximum remission of 210. But yeah, that Mercury account is the...
The true cost of advertising.
An external cost.
Move the recommendation.
I'll second.
Good report, then.
But,
that advertising's expensive, isn't it?
Well, Laurie understands it, doesn't he? This is where it's going to go.
Well, he does now. It's harsh to say if you were building a structure, you might have had $1,000 worth of building fees, which are all internal, and we could have given you 50% remission of those. However, there's no building application.
No.
And the biggest component is the Mercury. But yeah, it's probably opportune time to recognise the value of all our brigades and the service they provide to the community.
The necessity to advertise it in the Mercury, it's not necessarily the Mercury, doesn't it? Is it a newspaper circulating in the area?
No, but...
Can't we get away with doing it?
No. It's a daily newspaper.
Is it?
It actually specifies in the Act, and that way the Mercury is the only daily newspaper. Unless you want to print a daily copy of the Coal River News or something.
The option is, though, that they could cite the container as per the setbacks, and I guess for Laurie, the applicant, it's a matter of whether they can actually achieve those prescribed setbacks. There's no DA fee, could be, quite possibly no permit required on compliant yards. So that's one for you to look at.
Well, we did look at it, and it just makes the yard unusable.
Yeah.
And it was a recommendation from the district that it go against the fence.
Sure. Yeah.
We should have moved the boundary out further. Maybe we should have made an application just the boundary.
Oh, now we're going to pay more survey fees.
Who owns it at the moment? Does council still own property?
We waited on, we've got to prepare a bushfire management plan for it.
Oh, I did hear that. If council still owns the property and is still under lease,
does that side boundary actually count? Because it's still part of the whole of the oval. That's my thought.
That's a question. Question's great.
It's
I'll
take it on notice, but certainly, you know, I like to, you know, look for solutions rather than, you know.
Well, so high, that's what I suggested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we can, you know, council's resolved to waive some fees, but if we can look at other options insofar as, you know, whether there's an issue we can look at, happy to do so.
Well, that would be productive all round if we could get to some situation where you've got. You know, the volunteers raise these monies, and it's just it irks me that we have to spend it on the mercury. Because, you know, really, I reckon if you put an ad in the local paper, you'd be more likely to get somebody to read it and have a sensible response if one was needed than would happen if it was in the mercury.
But, Mr. Mayor, if the council still owns the whole of the property, then the issue of I believe, isn't there.
We're advertising to ourselves.
Yes.
But that's what the legislation
says. But I'm saying the line that we're using as a fence line is still part of your, still part of council property as a total area.
Mm.
If we're building within something that belongs to yourself, to council, is there an offer, is there the 3 metre offset is from where? The northern side, the northwestern side boundary? Or where? It's not number 61.
It's a good point. We're working on a boundary that actually hasn't been formalised in the creation of a title as yet.
Yeah.
So effectively, this shipping container is sitting out in the middle of the backyard.
Happy to look at that, most definitely, because.
Let's have a look at it and see what we can do. We've got to move in a second if it's discussed, if necessary. But if we can skin the cat in another way, we'll see how we go. Yeah. Okay, I'll put that motion just formally. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Thanks very much. And yeah, let's keep talking and get a good resolution. Yeah, the other matter for supplementary item was to move into closed session. Very good. Well, in accordance with Regulation 17.1, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session.
I'll move.
Those matters and moved by Councillor Campbell and a seconder of.
Yeah, I'll second.
Thanks, Laurie.
Councillor.
Thank you. Thank you,
Laurie.
So that's application for leave of absence, unpaid rates, property development matter, and what was, how did we describe the other matter?
Was Mount Seymour.
Mount Seymour Hall.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Campbell, seconded by Council Blackwell, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. We now move into closed session. A mover for doing that?
I'll move.
Second.
Councillor Campbell, those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. We're now in closed session. We're now out of closed session and I close the council meeting at, say, 1:45. Did it say 1:45? 12:45.